Hello, it's me, Matt Stevens, on my own podcast. I'm not too sure exactly how I've swung this one, but it's a bit of a dream come true. I wanted to do one of these for a very long time, and I don't even have to wear pants. Although, reassuringly for you guys, I am actually wearing them on this edition. Now, coming up on the first ever podcast that I'm hosting, I'll be talking to the best Welsh professional guitar-playing cycling commentator in the entire world, Perry Ap Gwynedd. We'll talk about his best gigs, his worst gigs, rally choppers, rally tomahawks, and how he became the voice of the Tour de France on Welsh TV channel S4C. And of course, we'll also be talking about the staggered double rotor blade layout on the Chinook helicopter, which typically rotate at a speed of 225 RPM. That is pretty high cadence, random, but important. We may also speak to Kenny Van Vlaminck, if you've heard of him. He may turn up. So if you're a fan of his, yeah, make sure you tune in a little bit later in the show. But first up, we have a bit of a pain. We haven't actually got a jingle. Might actually see if Perry can knock one up for us. Jake, can you put some sort of noise in now so to help us move on to the next segment? Now, all of this wouldn't be possible without our fantastic podcast sponsors, Sigma Sports. And right now, you can save, yes, you can. You can save up to 750 quid on a brand new BMC bike if you order before the end of April. All you need to do is just head to the website, sigmasports.com/offers, for all of the little details. Right then, let's get on with the pod. Perry Ap Gwynedd plays guitar for hard rock stroke, drum and bass stroke, electronic rock mashup band Pendulum. He also plays lead guitar when they tour for Faithless as well. Now, Perry himself is a bit of a genre-hopping legend too. When he's not playing or recording music, he's either riding his bike or commentating on pro cycling. And if race commentary wasn't hard enough, he has to do it in Welsh Bwyol. He's also a great friend of mine. Hiya, Perry.
Yeah, how you doing, Matt? It's really nice to talk to you.
And you, mate. First up, before we move forward with any kind of chat, what I'd like you to do is to describe to the listeners where you are and what paraphernalia you have around you. So I want people to think that they can actually be with you, and then I'll describe where I am, and then we can get rolling. So where are you, and what do you look like? Yeah.
I'm at home, but in my home, I do have a recording studio. Okay. So I'm sat in front of my computer with a microphone, obviously, otherwise you wouldn't hear me. And I've got speakers either side.
Indeed. And
various guitars around me, some weird metallic disc things on the wall. I've got a bike. My studio is also my pain cave.
We can talk about that a bit more later. I didn't realize that, mate.
Yeah, I'll take a photo. Do you know what? Shall I take a photo?
You can send it to me. I can look at it, and we can also maybe use it as a promotional piece of promo photography for this very podcast. That's great.
That's a very good idea.
I tell you what, you can tell we're flying by the seat of the pants, can't you? Brilliant stuff.
And I've also got a framed copy of the L'Equipe with Geraint Thomas in the front after he won the Tour de France, obviously.
Fantastic, mate. Fantastic. Yeah, that was obviously big for Wales, wasn't it? Big for everybody, but big for Great Britain, but I think we kind of adopted him as our own. But yeah, big for Wales. That was
absolutely,
big.
Absolutely, yeah.
So have you got any kind of snacks, drinks, sort of refreshments lined up?
Not in front of me, but I will be drinking beer and possibly wine later because we're doing a Zoom pub quiz. So, and it's illegal to do one of those without any beverages. So I'll be imbibing later on.
I did a Zoom pub quiz with some mates last night. It was absolutely wonderful. I popped out and got a takeout curry, and then we sat down, fired up Zoom, and it was great. We had a lot of my friends when I used to live in Bath were on it, and we had a right old laugh, and we were playing with backgrounds, and the background that me and Holly got, you might have to edit this out, I don't know, but it's not that rude. We got a pond full of boobs behind us. And I'll send you a picture. It's amazing. And then we got ABBA. ABBA as well were behind us. So it felt like I was kind of in the studio with ABBA briefly. But I do like a bit of Zoom. Other platforms, of course, are available.
Yeah, it's weird because some of these people, they only live like a couple of miles away from me. But I haven't seen them for a month, obviously, because we're stuck in our houses. So, yeah.
And, you know, and we can't not kick off this our conversation without referencing the current situation. Before we go on, I'm in my bedroom and I'm sat on the bed because the internet connection in my little office wasn't quite as strong. So I wasn't hardwired in. So I'm sat on my bed looking outside into the road. And it's all kind of tranquil, mate. But it is, it's a strange situation, isn't it, Perry? But there's a weird kind of tranquility about the whole situation, although lots of people are struggling as well. I mean, that's just from my point of view, but strange times, mate.
Yeah, it hasn't gone as crazy as I thought it would be. Everybody's still quite calm. Obviously, some people are dealing with serious hardship at the minute.
Yeah,
but I'm in one of the areas, one of the main hotspots in of the COVID-19 areas in the UK. I live in Southwark, so and everybody here is surprisingly calm and chilled out. You know, we live really close to King's Hospital, and that's one of the biggest hospitals in the UK for the disease and for the virus. And but everybody is very chilled in Southwark. So.
Yeah. And it's what I tell you, I think a big shout out to everybody working at the sharp end of this as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I stood outside the other day. I'm sure a lot of people listening did the same thing for that 8 o'clock on a Thursday to give a big shout out and thanks to all people working at the sharp end, you know, and in the NHS and chemists and, you know, key workers. And do you know what, mate? I was in my pajamas and I think I did a tweet about it. I'd never stood in the street in my pajamas clapping and crying at the same time.
Wow, amazing.
Mm.
Oh, but it was 8 p.m. Were you going to bed or something?
No, I was in my pajamas all day, mate. I'd very rarely get out of my pajamas full stop these days. I've done quite a lot of, some race commentary with my top half dressed and my bottom half just in my Star Wars or my Marvel pajamas.
I've got to start thinking. Well, I should start recording. I'm doing a lot of recording at the minute. So, music. I might do the same. I actually might do it in my wife fronts.
Do you know what it gives you? It gives you, you know, you've got to balance it, Perry, because if you go too relaxed, I think you lose it a bit. So I think you need to kind of, your attire can really directly influence your state of mind and your state of being when being professional. But I think if you go half and half, half formal, half informal, you retain that focus, but there's a real relaxed fluidity to the whole set of proceedings, mate. So go for it.
Okay, then wife fronts at the bottom, suit and tie at the top.
Yeah, definitely, mate.
Maybe, okay, but
with the tie, but maybe loosen one button. So okay. Just to give yourself a bit of breathing space, especially if you're recording in your man cave. And I think this is a good little segue, Perry, into explaining to people who might not exactly know what you do. I mean, I do, and a lot of fans of cycling know what you do. You came and you guested, of course, in that wonderful video that we did, the CAFE ride with Daniel Loss.
Yeah.
You're riffing away in there. But what actually, especially now, because you can't tour with the bands that you tour with, primarily Pendulum, you're like everybody else, mate, you're locked down. So what typically are you doing now?
Well, I'm doing a lot of sessions. I put out on social media a couple of weeks ago saying, right, I'm not doing anything, might as well do something. So I slashed my fees and I just put it out there. Anybody wants me to play on the record, just get in touch. And I've done quite a few, you know. It's been really good. I've been playing my guitar on music from a lot of young artists, which is really good. So it's been a lot of fun, but kept me busy, kept me sane, which is pretty cool. So yeah, that's what I've been doing mainly.
So can you give us any ideas of who you've been recording with or the type of music you've been doing? Is it for kind of TV stuff, or is it a mix, soundtracks, or for actual kind of pop acts, or is it a bit of a mix?
It's for the latest three that I've done. Two that have been pretty good young drum and bass artists.
Yeah.
Which, and the music has been fantastic, you know, really world class stuff. And another thing I've been working on, I've been working with the drummer from a famous indie band from the 90s and the 2000s, pretty cool. So I can't mention who that is yet.
Fine, mate. Don't worry.
He's been working on a solo album, so it's very, very cool indeed.
So have you kind of finally settled into, I say finally, because we're only kind of, what, we 3 weeks into this now, have you kind of settled into a kind of reasonable sort of routine working from home?
Yeah, I have. Thank God for the internet, really, because you know, everything is now done online, the whole lot. Obviously, I can't be in a studio with somebody else. So for example, an artist, I'll talk to them online, maybe on Skype or or whatever, and just chat to them. Then I'll start recording, and then I'll send ideas through, and they go, yeah, what about this on that track? And maybe try a little bit of that. And so it's a proper like production as you would do in a recording studio. But yeah, the other person's halfway around the world. I've been, the last couple have been, one guy's been in LA and the other guy's been in Finland. So it's
flipping
pretty
heck.
Cool like that. Yeah. It's so that's one good thing about it, that you get to work with other people on the other side of the world, which is great. And the internet helps that, obviously.
And let's, you know, the way that we ended up knowing each other was by the internet. Now, I might have a different view on how we actually met and became mates. Yeah. Can you give me your version of it? Because I don't want to be incorrect, but I think it was firstly via Twitter, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And then we met. First time we met was in Harrogate in 2014 at the tour.
And that's right, yeah.
Yeah, you had longer hair back then. You had quite an indie pop star.
I did. I think I might have still been straightening my hair, mate, back then.
Really?
Yeah, I used to carry. I had a pair of travel straighteners that I used to carry around. I even took them to races, mate, although I'd retired by then. But
I used a pair of those on stage. Well, when I had long hair, we used to, us as a band, well, I used to straighten my hair as well,
it was did the emo years. We've all been there. Well, not maybe all of us, but me and you have definitely done the emo years. We'll have to bang out a few photos, mate.
I'd forgotten about that. Actually, God, yeah. Hair straighteners. Damn.
Yeah. So we met in Harrogate. Do you know whereabouts? Because I was actually with another kind of, I was doing a gig actually up in Harrogate in 2014 with John Cooper Clarke.
Yeah. You know that hill coming up to the finishing line?
Yeah.
In Harrogate. We met on that hill and I introduced myself. Oh, is it? Because you were working with, well, there was a cyclist with you as well, another cyclist. It was Chris Boardman.
Was it Chris Boardman?
No. He might have been with us briefly. Chris might have been there very, very briefly to do.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm sure John Cooper Clarke, was he there with you as well?
It was John Cooper Clarke and Phil Jupitus that I was wandering around with. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jupitus as well, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was. So that was when we first met. Flipping heck.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'd been chatting previously.
We had been, yeah.
We were internet friends up until then.
So. It's funny, isn't it, how people meet. And then obviously we've been kind of good buddies sort of ever since and our paths cross. I mean, apart from you being a top-notch musician, I think one of the weird kind of the ways that we've kind of got in contact is through your interest in cycling, isn't it? And a mate of mine and yours, a mate of mine from Belgium, Kenny Van Vlamick, because you followed Kenny's exploits, didn't you? I mean, Kenny gets in touch sometimes, and then I sometimes help him out with his social media because he's a bit inept. And I was scrolling through his Twitter, just checking out followers and seeing who he might need to refollow. And I saw this chap Perry App Gwyneth 666. Maybe we'll talk about the 666. And a bit worried about that, but and I thought, oh my God, it's the lead guitarist of Pendulum that follows Kenny, and I thought I need a bit of this action, so I followed you too, and here we are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so yeah, I do love your friend Kenny. He makes me laugh quite a lot. So it's
We're trying to get him on board. Actually, I don't know whether we're going to pull it off, because obviously at the time of recording this particular element of the podcast, we've got other elements to bring in, and we're trying to get Kenny to do a section on the podcast. If we can get the contract ironed out in time, hopefully he'll have a little section which could be interesting. I don't know whether it'll work or not, but. Hey, we'll see.
I hope he's okay over there in Gits, you know.
No, well, apparently what I've heard, and this is unofficial, and I don't really want it going any further, if you keep it between me and you, is he's actually self-isolating in the Patrick's Peas factory. So he's locked down, basically tinning peas to make sure that the part of West Flanders that he works in actually gets their veg. So he's not in the best place psychologically, mate. So we'll see.
Well, at least he's not going hungry. That's one thing I'll be worried about.
No.
Has he turned green yet?
I honestly don't know. He's gone off the radar a bit. But the other thing that we do need to mention this, because this is this fascinating way that we kind of got to know each other, is that I do a bit of commentary. You are one of the, or if not the, along with your brother, Reg, the kind of Welsh language voice of the Tour de France.
Well, yeah, we've been doing it for since Yorkshire. I got a phone call from a production company from a friend of mine and said, you like cycling, don't you? And I said, yes. And I'd done some media and some TV in the past and said, oh, we're putting a pitch together to get the Tour de France in Welsh on S4C. Can we put your name next to the pitch? And I went, yeah, right then. So 6 weeks later, he calls back and said, do you remember our chat 6 weeks ago? I said, yes. I said, well, we got the gig. What are you doing in July? So I was like, oh, Christ. So, well, I was gigging I was on tour. But thankfully, there were a bunch of free dates available. So I was there for the first 3 days in Yorkshire and for the final day in Paris. And then we commentate remotely from Wales. So the rest of the time I was in Wales. So yeah, that was 2014. And we've been doing it every year since. So it's, and we did a Giro for the first time last year. We do Paris-Nice as well. And yeah, various ASO classics because ASO races then. So it's, because that's what the contract involves is doing ASO races. So
that is very, very, very cool, mate. Yeah, that is very, very cool. But now we're kind of at the point in our little conversation where I'm getting somebody's just sent me that. Did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah, that's my wife Holly sending me a text saying, "Am I recording now?" And I am. I'm just going to message you back. yes. Oh no, hold on, hold on, guys, this is live recording. Yes, I am. But what I have for you now, Perry, is a bit of a challenge. Are you up for a challenge, mate?
Absolutely, always up for a channel.
You're a very upbeat chap, and I know that you do like a bit of a challenge, so just bear with me a minute. It's called, we will create a bit of a jingle for it, so if we have a pause now, then I'm going to insert my own jingle, and then we'll carry on with the challenge, all right? Coming up now, it's Guess That Snack. Okay, Perry, it's called Guess That Snack. I think I need to slightly elaborate a little bit more. Basically, in front of me now, laid out on my duvet cover, I have three readily available potato and corn-based snacks available from your local Poundland, Tesco, Sainsbury's, wherever, garage. They are regularly available and have been for years. It's going to be a continuing theme from every show. I'm going to ask each guest to guess what snack I'm crunching. Now, I'm going to give you three choices.
Yeah.
So there's three snacks I have. I'm only going to crunch one, and based on the sound that I make, you need to guess that snack. So I'm just going to open the bag for a second. So give me a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you the three snacks that are laid out. Uh-huh. I'm then going to eat one of the snacks, and you've got to guess what snack it is. Okay, mate?
Okay.
So are you comfortable?
I am indeed, yes.
Very. Are you ready?
I am.
I'm now reaching for one of these snacks. I need to give you the choice, don't I? You can tell it's the first time I've done this. Okay, we've got Pringles.
Ooh.
Pringles, okay. Got a tube of Pringles spread out.
Yeah.
We've got a bag of Wotsits.
Oh, very nice. Classy.
A bag of Wotsits, a real big favourite, especially amongst the youngsters these days.
Uh-huh.
And Walker's Square Crisps as well.
Blast from the past.
Indeed. So Pringles, Wotsits, Square Crisps.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's another little bit of a jingle that's going to come. It's called Matt, Go for the Crunch. And here we go.
Okay, that's definitely not a what's it.
Do you want another go?
Do it again, once.
All right.
I've got it. It's quite a high tonality in in the crunch. I'm going to say it's a Smith's Square Crisp.
Or what? It's totally correct. It is Square Crisp. You've won a prize. I will send you the remnants of. I'll reseal the bag with a peg, and I'll send it in the post. Great stuff. That was Matt. Guess that snack. Guess that snack. Nice one, mate.
Oh my God, I'm sweating.
That was great. Perry, I need to know, mate, because I'm a big fan of you, because you're a lovely, firstly, you're a lovely bloke and you're a great cook. I've eaten in your house before.
Thank
that was
you.
Lovely. Very, very, very nice. But what I'd like to know, you have told me this before, but I want to share it with the people that are listening. The bottom line is, mate, you're the lead guitarist in a flipping, you know, big rock band.
Yeah.
What's the most amazing experience you've had on stage? Let's get straight to the point, mate. You've been on the stage in front of thousands of people all over the world.
Yeah.
Tell us your best gig ever.
Probably my favourite one was Glastonbury 2009, I think. Mate. Yeah, we played quite late. You know that, the slot, the sunset slot on the other stage?
Yep.
Where, well, basically the sun sets, believe it or not, that's why it's called.
Oh, right, okay.
and it was a beautiful, clear night, and we were lucky enough to see the sun setting, and we were just getting big at that point, and we were, the audience were absolutely incredible, singing everything back at us.
We haven't mentioned the name. We mentioned it before. Pendulum, of course, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, Pendulum. And they were singing the songs back at us so loudly, you know. It just totally and utterly blew my mind. But on the main stage, on the pyramid stage, just after us, Bruce Springsteen was on. So, I gave my guitar to my roadie, ran to the dressing room, put a dry t-shirt on because it was soaking wet because it was so hot on stage. And I just ran to the pyramid stage to watch the boss. And it was amazing. It was an amazing evening. It was a fantastic evening because I'd never seen him before. I haven't seen him since. So it was a
flipping heck.
It was excellent. Yeah.
Flipping heck, mate. Who did you come on after? That's always an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, not that I've ever been in that position, but do you remember who you came on after?
No, I don't.
There you go. That's that question finished. Somebody will probably write in and tell us who was just below you in the bill. Yeah. I saw you at Reading. You kindly got me and Holly and my lads tickets.
Yeah,
that was a good. And you were in the dance tent, which is blimmin' enormous, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The place nearly lifted off the ground. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it must be cool though, because the thing is, mate, you meet you primarily dressed in black, a little bit like me, but you're such an unassuming bloke. And the fact that you're the lead guitarist in a big rock band that goes all over the world.
Don't I act like a rock star?
After a few pints you do, but let's not go into that. Yeah, I've seen you in action, mate, and it's a bit, I think that's probably another podcast we need to talk about that perhaps. But it must be absolutely bonkers, you know, like you doing what you love, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm so lucky to do the both things that I love in my life, you know. So the music aspect is fantastic, but to do the cycling thing as well is just like, it seriously blows my mind that I get to do that as well, you know, because I'm there at the tour, and you know, it, being in France there with a microphone, co-presenting the show, you know, all these superstars who I think are absolute superstars of the cycling world. I only get properly starstruck with cyclists.
It's weird.
I get really starstruck, and you know, with musicians, I'm kind of used to it
because they're your peers, aren't they? Really, I guess. And there's obviously musicians you look up to, but you're not so much in, I guess, in awe of them, really.
Yeah, because I've been doing it for a while, and it's, you know, I've met quite a few people along the way, but it's the cycling thing that gets me properly starstruck. You know, I saw Eddie Merckx once at the cycle show in Earl's Court, wherever it's called, a few years ago now, and I was honestly too scared to go up and talk to him. Apparently he's a very personable man, but I was just too scared. I was like, sat there just looking at him going, wow, it's Eddie Merckx. You know?
I think we bandy the phrase living legend about all too easily, don't we? Yeah. I think we're a bit lazy with the use of it, but he is one of those living legends who
he is.
Along with Sean Kelly, who and one or two others, Greg LeMond, who really do deserve that kind of status, don't they? You know,
When I was growing up, obviously growing up in Wales is very big rugby country.
Yeah,
you know, but so growing up, you know, it was your heroes would be somebody like Gareth Edwards, you know, even after he'd retired.
What about JPR Williams? He was my favourite Welsh rugby player because of his hair.
Yeah, he was really cool. He was a doctor, you know, a doctor with hair that long. Quite cool.
A few people, I'm going to briefly just cut across there, but hold that thought. If anybody's thinking, who the hell is JPR Williams? type him into your laptop or your mobile device. And he's very distinctive looking. He was lanky, wasn't he? And he always had a headband.
Yeah.
And he had long flowing locks. Yeah. I mean, he couldn't be more 70s if he'd have tried, could he?
I mean, yeah, he was part of the Welsh big team of the 70s. And people still revere him now. Him, Garth Edwards, Phil Bennett, you know, all those guys. Back then, when I was growing up in the 80s, there was another guy, you know, and he was Eddie Merckx. This is way after he'd finished, after he'd retired, after he'd finished cycling professionally. You know, during the 80s, people were still talking about Eddie Merckx, you know. And I remember I had a rally chopper, but a friend of mine had...
You had a chopper?
Yeah.
I didn't have it. I had a Tomahawk, which is the one down, yeah. Oh. It was purple. Oh,
mine was black. Yeah.
Were you one of the hard kids? Because I wasn't. I wasn't allowed to wear white socks. I could only wear grey.
Really?
I wasn't one of the hard kids. I looked up to be like, if you'd been riding around on a chopper, I probably wouldn't have spoken to you because I was pretty frightened of
you.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Is that a tough kid's bike then?
Yeah, that and a grifter were the tough kids' bikes back in the day.
My brother had a grifter.
Yeah, bloody. If you had a grifter, that was even above a chopper.
Really?
You were proper hard nut. You had proper hard nut, yeah.
Remember the Eddie Merckx bikes, the 5-speed Eddie Merckx
bikes? Yes, I do, mate, I do.
And, you know, a friend of mine, I think it was orange. It must have been orange.
They were indeed orange, yeah.
And a friend of mine had one of those, and, you know, we were all so jealous that he had drop handlebars and he had 5 speeds instead of our 3. You know,
that's a lot of gears when you think about it back then, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, I know you're talking about, you know, the crossover between music and cycling, and it is, but there's a lot of musicians who like to ride their bikes. But I remember another thing that we were talking about. About a couple of years ago, I think it was, maybe at the tour, when we met at the tour,
right.
one debauched night where we stayed up on the rest day. You were talking about, it got a bit out of hand, didn't it? Again, we better not go into that for fear of legal reprisals.
That was just below Galibier.
That's right.
What's the name of the
bloody
village?
Hell, where was it? Yeah. It was a good night though, wasn't it? And again, we randomly bumped into each other. Well, it wasn't random because you were there anyway, but I think we actually did text and there was a Eurosport party, barbecue. And then we went out afterwards and just, it was a long night. Anyway, you were saying to me that there's a lot of, like, rock bands and heavy metal bands and a lot of indie bands as well who have, like, one of the musicians likes riding. And was it at the Monsters of Rock Festival there was an organised ride from a lot of heavy metal cyclists or something like that? That they did. Explain that to us, because that's just one of the most weirdest, wonderful things I've heard in relation to this musical cycling crossover. Explain that to us. What's all that about?
It's called the Heavy Metal Truants, and it's a charity that's that was set up 2013, I think it was.
The Heavy Metal Truants. Yeah. I like that.
And it was set up by Rod Smallwood, who's Iron Maiden's manager. A guy called Alexander Milas, who used to he's the editor for Metal Hammer magazine.
Okay.
So they all got a bunch of musicians together and people who worked in the industry, some fans, some music fans came along, and we all cycled, starting from Alexandra Palace in London. We cycled to Castle Donington.
That's quite a... What's that, about 90, 100 miles?
It's the route that we took, it was 160. So we did it over 3 days. First day was 60 miles. Second day was 90. And the third day was something like 30, 25 miles or something like that. So the first 2 days were brutes, and the third day was quite easy when we were just rolling into Monsters of Rock Festival. Download Festival, Monsters of Rock.
Download. Oh my blimey, flipping egg. Gotta get the festival, mate. Yeah.
God. Download. Yeah, I still call it Monsters of Rock, you know. But so every year they've been doing this for I think 7 years now. We've raised over £666,666 anyway. So we
bloody hell,
we smashed that. It's around 700 grand that we've raised.
Flipping heck.
Children's charities.
That's amazing, but that sounds, when all this very difficult situation, you know, globally is behind us, and at some point it will be, let's hope so. Yeah.
I'd love to come along on that and maybe bring the boys,
absolutely,
Jake, you and Niall, you know, along, and we can film something like a heavy metal cafe ride. Can you imagine?
That'd be superb. Because
I hope the guys are writing something down. That'd be nuts, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was such good fun last time, because we had there was talk that Bruce Dickinson was going to do it as well, but they were playing in that first festival in Download when we did it first time around, but he had a bit of a throat going on, so he couldn't really leave his hotel room until gig. Mate. So it's been really good. You know, please come along. That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll definitely try and organize on that. That sounds like an ideal opportunity to do something just a little bit different. I'm going to ask you another question, because I don't think I've ever asked you this one before. Uh-huh. It's in relation to, see, I'm fascinated about, you know, music. Holly's a musician. I'm not, but I love music.
You are a musician.
What do you mean, mate? I'm not paid you to say this.
Well, no, I've heard you sing. You can sing. So
I can try and sing.
Mate,
I mean,
you're good.
Yeah, I do like to sing. But what Perry was your worst gig?
Oh,
I mean,
God.
But if anybody can hear, that isn't the special effects that we put over the top. There's actually a Chinook flying past the house. Look at that. God. I bet that's on the way to Poundland with a fresh delivery of Frazzles. Oh geez. So just let the Chinook's now gone. The thud of the rotor. Do you know what? Chinooks to me, they fascinate me. I'm kind of drawn to them. I mean, from an engineering perspective, not even being an engineer, but
they're the ones with the double propellers.
That's it. Like, but the propeller, Perry, the propellers cross.
I know.
What is all that about?
I would never. I've. Do they actually cross in between each other? Like,
they must do.
Like
they must.
Dogs.
I think every time they just. That apparently, before they take off, one of the blokes or the women over there, they got a little step ladder. They climb onto the top of and make sure that the blades are set apart. Then they take off, so
really?
They don't touch. Yeah. Well, I just made that up. But they probably do. I don't know. One of my top five pieces of aviation machinery. Yeah. I think my favourite is the Spitfire. And then my second, I think I like Concorde.
Yeah.
And then I like those tiny little bubble helicopters that you get, like there's in the first Batman film, that the one that the shark tried to attack Batman was hanging off the ladder. I like those. And then the Chinook's in my top, although it's a machine primarily used in warfare. Yeah. I just think it's a wonderful piece of engineering. And then I like gliders. That's my top five.
Gliders are really
planes.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like the new Boeing 787.
Do you? Oh, the one with the top floor on it.
No, it's a single floor, but it doesn't have any the blinds for the windows anymore. You click a button and it just goes dark.
Oh, like in a shower in some posh hotels.
Yeah, you just click a button, it goes dark. It's amazing.
Flipping heck, mate! Yeah. And wow. Well, I'm sorry we went off on a bit of a tangent. It's wonderful. The lovely thing I like about it's the first proper podcast I've done, actually. I'm really enjoying it.
It's
so
very
far.
Good.
It's the fact that although when you listen to it, it'll be recorded. Whilst we're recording it, it's actually live and things happen in real life.
Absolutely.
And at the moment, the sun's slowly setting, the light's shifting. I've got some lovely blossoms just outside my window. We had the Chinook passing overhead. We had Holly ringing in. I mean, it's what a time to be alive,
yeah,
Perry.
Yeah, there's no cheating going on in this podcast.
No cheating at all. So, Perry, your worst gig.
Oh, God.
What was your worst gig, mate?
So, it's to play in this band back in Wales, and we had a... It's while I live in London, so I used to go back home and play with this Welsh band, and we did a couple of gigs, one in Lampeter, one in Cardiff over a weekend, and the Cardiff one was first, sorry, and we went to a pub for lunchtime pint, but they had somebody selling cockles,
oh yeah,
and seafood, you know, and yeah, oh, God, so I thought, I'll have a bunch of them, so I'd. Whelks, I had cockles, I had mussels, and the gig that night we got on stage, it was at the university in Lampeter, that's right. Mm. And we were on stage in the main hall in the university, started playing, and then started feeling my belly going, oh dear, there's something going on here. And you know, when you get food poisoning, it just suddenly hits you.
Yeah,
it just suddenly hit me. I just felt really ill all of a sudden. And I went behind a curtain and vomited of these beautifully upholstered chairs, you know, that the dean of the university usually sits on, you know.
Yeah,
I was just, I was total technical yawn over all these posh chairs. And once my belly had cleared, I felt all right. I went back and did the gig, you know, still felt a little bit dodgy, but that was my worst experience on stage, actually vomiting into the wings.
Jesus, that's impressive, mate.
Yeah.
Blimey. I'm sorry I had to sort of, well, bring that up, basically, again. Hey, Jake, we need a badum tish, mate. Can we just put that in? Thank you very much indeed. Right on time. Now, before we kind of wrap things up, there's a couple more things we need to talk about. Firstly, we said we're going to do the jingle, didn't we? Because
yes.
this show, this podcast, yes, hasn't quite got a name. We'll sort that out. But I believe, I did message you earlier on, I believe you've got some sort of musical instrument set up quite near to where you're recording. So how about we sort of have a bit of we lay down some sort of track, perhaps, live on this podcast.
I have an acoustic guitar in my hand.
Oh, acoustic. Okay.
Okay.
Stripped down. So it's almost like Sigma Sports unplugged.
Yeah.
Brilliant, mate. This is fantastic.
So I came up with a riff. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you could jam over it. We've jammed before. We know.
We've jammed, yeah. Yeah. Well, just give us the riff and let's just see where it takes us. Because music to me, it's like a I don't know, a river or a stream. You just need to follow it and you just end up at the end of a rainbow.
Yeah.
After three, a one, a two, a one, two, three, four. That was four. Sorry. Just go. Place. Matt Stevens unplugged by Sigma Sports. Yeah. I think we got it one. Hey! Oh! That was brilliant. I don't think we need to do another take. We might need to, you know, I don't know. I think we're there. I'm actually getting a little bit emotional. That was so powerful. And I don't think we could replicate it, Poe, but thank you very much indeed for that, that little rendition. And I can't wait to listen to this back, actually, when it goes out.
Me too.
Stuff. Great to chat to you, mate. And thanks for being such a lovely bloke. And stay safe,
man.
Bud. Give hugs to Victoria and your little one, mate. And stay safe. Thanks very much, Perry. You're great. And that was a lot of fun. And that riff, I mean, I think that we could see Sigma Sports' first ever number one hit, possibly.
I think so.
Who knows?
It is that good.
We just need to pad the song out. But Perry, thanks very much, mate. You've been an absolute diamond. You take care.
Thank you. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Now, why are we doing a podcast and why are we doing it now? Well, first up, I'd really like podcasts, but I caught up with Ian Whittingham, good mate of mine and the managing director and Sigma Sports co-founder, to find out. And he kindly just got out a bid for us as well.
Yeah, it felt like the perfect time. We talked about the podcast on and off because, you know, obviously we put a lot of energy and effort into our video content. And it's incredibly well received. But of course, podcasts are, you know, is another great medium at a time when we are all social distancing and all working remotely and unable to get in front of a camera. It seemed like a great reason to kick off our podcast series.
I mean, before we get on to our first guest, we will have you back on the show in the next couple of weeks, mate, because we've got a feature that I'm not going to give too much away. It's a snack-based feature, which we're going to involve you in, I think maybe next week or the week after. So prepare yourself for that. So make sure you appraise yourself in of various different potato wheat-based snacks over the next few weeks, if that's okay, during lockdown. But before we move on, What message have you got for the people who are listening to the Sigma Sports podcast and people who've been loyal customers and also potential customers? What kind of message have you got for them going forwards, mate?
Obviously, to kick off by saying a huge thanks to all of our existing customers, old and new. You know, support's incredible, and what humbles me is that our office is just down the road from the store, and so I get to pop into the shop every day throughout the working week. And very rarely do I not see customers that, you know, have been shopping with us for almost since the beginning, certainly for many, many years. And it's been a good few years since I've worked full time in the store environment. So yeah, we've got some incredibly loyal customers, in the store and online. We've got a great, great bunch of great team of staff across the business who are as passionate about cycling as we are. So I think just a huge thanks to everyone, especially during this really challenging time. The support everyone's shown has been been amazing. Here's to getting through it and the next 30 years.
Indeed, mate. Well, Ian, thanks very much. I'll let you get back to feeding your birds and attending to your lawn in the back garden. But for now, see you later, mate.
Thanks, Matt. Bye-bye.
Well, always good to speak to Ian. Must admit, I'm pretty much... what? Oh, hold on a minute. Is that... I've not had a fax for ages. Just, excuse me. Right, I just got a fax here from a post office in Gits, which is, well, I know it's a small town in West Flanders. Let's have a little read. It says, check your postbox. Right, excuse me a minute. Right, well, I've just checked my postbox, and there's a brown envelope. Just going to have a look inside. It says return address, Kenny Van Vlaming, Gits, yeah. And there's a T90 cassette inside. I'm going to listen to this, see what it says.
Hello, 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 hello. It is Kenny Van Vlaming. I'm making this small recording. The Wi-Fi is a big problem, and I'm trapped in the factory. Trapped in the factory of Patrick's Peace for 3 weeks, and no communication. So I'm sending this message to an old friend of mine in the United Kingdom. Hopefully it will be found. But I am amusing myself. It is very difficult. There are big problems with the psychological threat inside the factory just from making the peace. I am now totally vegetarian. I'm just eating tiny peas and tiny carrots, the tiny ones you find inside the tins that are not very tasty. This is the only thing I'm eating. I'm drinking the water that comes inside the tins. Very dehydrated, but I am sending some messages because it's a big problem. The funding for the team is not so good now, so hopefully this recording will be inside the ears of somebody in England. But I have a couple of things to say, a couple of messages, some artwork from my mind. First thing I want to share with you, the top 5 measurement increments in the millimeters. I've been thinking about this for a long time. Many measurements are important in life. These are the ones that I think have meant the most to me in my life as a professional cyclist and also as one of the most influential director sportifs of all time in West Flanders. In my top 5 measurement increments in millimeters, number 1, it's 2 millimeters. 2, it is 1 millimeter. 3, it is the 5 millimeter. 4, it is 3 millimeters, and finally number 5 is 4 millimeters. But I enjoy these increments because they can be deployed in many different, but mostly small, height situations. I have been writing many poems, songs, painting inside the Factory of Peace. But this is an old poem for Geraint Thomas. Geraint Thomas is a good guy, he's okay riding, he's right okay in the paver, he's riding the mountains, okay. I write this nice poem because I'm reading in the newspaper. 12 hours he's going to be riding inside his garage. So I found this old poem for Geraint. Poem for Geraint. From Wales, the smallest UK island, where cycling was banned until 1972 because of rugby. From the asphalt to the velodrome, then to the asphalt again. Where, like a yellow dragon, you breathe a fire fueled with the intensity of a long apprenticeship. Yeah, it's a poem for Geraint Thomas. Yeah, it's a nice poem. Many people always talk of my poems for the next edition. I can bring you some other beautiful poetry and things like this. For the final installment of my this cassette or whatever, I will give you my top 5 animals that are also waterproof. So it's I think about these sorts of things. Sometimes my mind is working in many different ways, and I capture these moments using words and also the printed page. My top 5 animals that are also waterproof. Number 1, cling-filmed cats. Number 2, normal sharks. although they have tiny micro holes, so technically they are not waterproof. 3, ducks, except ducks from Switzerland. 4, Patrick Lefebvre's pet hedgehog in its special aerophobical suit. Patrick, he has a little special suit for his hedgehog. And 5, fish. Most varieties apart from newts, because newts are not waterproof. It's been proved by science. Anyway, it is, yeah, it's a big battle.
Right, well, I might play a little bit more from Kenny's cassette next week. But don't forget, you can save up to 750 smackers. Is that right? Oh, I can't say, can I say smackers? Smackers a thing? Oh, it's knicker, isn't it? All right, I'd say pounds. Say it one more time. Okay. But don't forget, you can save up to 750 quid on BMC bikes at sigmasports.com until the end of April. So get on the Sigma Sports website and check it out. And I'd just like to thank my guests, Ian Whittingham, Kenny Van Vlaming, and of course, Perry App Gwyneth. Thanks so much for listening, folks. I'll hopefully see you at the same time next week when we have another guest. Although, as of the time recording, I don't know who the heck that's going to be, which is fun. But for me, for now, on my bed, is goodbye.
Goodbye, Matt.
Are you still on the line?
Yeah. I just want to say goodbye to you. Oh, geez, flipping, <man. laughs> Is that the best podcast you've done for Sigma Sports?
Do you know what? It's by far and away the finest podcast I've ever done for Sigma Sports. Worst case scenario, top 5.